KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. It may be the biggest political battle yet over Airbnb. Proposition F on San Francisco's ballot would cap short-term rentals at 75 nights a year per unit and require hosts to report quarterly to the city. And the measure invites neighbors to sue rule violators. If you have any doubt this constitutes a threat to the San Francisco startup, consider that Airbnb has raised $8 million to fight the measure, on track to become one of the most expensive political campaigns in San Francisco history. With early voting set to begin today, let's take a look at San Francisco's Proposition F. That's coming up this hour on Forum. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Rachel Miro in for Michael Krasny. Proposition F on the San Francisco ballot would impose restrictions on Airbnb and similar vacation rental sites, 75 nights a year max. Plus, hosts would have to file quarterly reports with the city. Proponents say the regulations are necessary to stop abuses that are kicking long-term tenants out of the city. Opponents say Prop F would compromise privacy and encourage a tidal wave of lawsuits. This morning, we have proponents and opponents here in studio. David Campos, San Francisco supervisor on the Board of Supervisors for District 9 and a spokesperson for Proposition F. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Rachel.
And Patrick Hannon, campaign manager for the No on Prop F campaign. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Rachel.
Well, I guess we'll start with the four group. David Campos, there's already a law on the books. Can you summarize what that is and why you think it's not enough?
Let me begin by saying this. You know, I remember being a freshly appointed new supervisor, meeting with the founders of Airbnb, and actually sharing a sense of pride that this company started in San Francisco. And the reason that I'm here, you know, I'm not getting paid to be here, is for the same reason that you have this broad coalition of people, by the way, that have never agreed. Dianne Feinstein and the Apartment Association on one end, Tom Amiano and the Tenants Union on the other end. And what we are seeing is that this is a law that is broken, and that in the midst of the worst housing crisis in the history of San Francisco, this law is making things worse. How bad is it? Well, right now there are 10,000 units that are listed for short-term rentals. And we know, based on what the budget and legislative analyst says, that we are losing as many as 1,900 units to short-term rentals that could be used for housing. Why is this law broken? Don't just take my word for it. Let's look at the numbers. Of the 10,000 units that are out there, less than 6% have actually registered. That means that 94% of the people who are engaging in this activity are breaking the law. Now, they say, well, you know, give this law time to work. We have had years to actually enforce the law, and the planning department basically said this law, as it is written right now, is unenforceable.
And so, why is that? Why is that? I mean, you're speaking here as a political representative for this very government.
Because, you know, look, this is how you should never do public policy. First of all, the law was written by Airbnb. The person who wrote the law met with Airbnb 60 times before they finalized the law. And so what's happened is that this registration that was created is not working because it's voluntary. Right now, Airbnb, which, by the way, could solve the problem today by simply saying we're only going to list registered units. Of the 10,000 units that are being Airbnb'd and short-term rentaled, again, 94% of all units are not registered. Can you imagine if 94% of the liquor stores in San Francisco did not get a license with the city? And the planning department, by the way, went to the Board of Supervisors and said, this law is unenforceable.
And why is it unenforceable? I mean, like, if I park the wrong way, I will get a ticket in San Francisco.
Exactly. But what's happening here is that they don't have the tools to actually enforce the law. And what are those tools? First of all, they have said, the planning department staff has said, we cannot enforce the law unless we have booking data that actually shows not personal information, but the number of days that a unit is rented. Without that information, they're not going to be able to enforce the law. The second thing they said is, like, you know, the companies, Airbnb and these platforms, have to have some skin in the game. Unless they are part of the solution, nothing will be enforced. And what happens is that this $25 billion corporation, which, by the way, has essentially captured City Hall, the board did not respond by making the law better. It actually responded by making the law worse. And what's happening in a neighborhood like the Mission, which is ground zero for displacement, we are losing as many as 40% of units that could be rented to residents of the Mission to Airbnb. And let me give you a good statistic. There are more than 300 evictions in the Mission. And guess what? That's the same number of units that are being commercially Airbnb'd. We in San Francisco are going to the voters in November saying approve a housing bond of $310 million. Now, I support that housing bond. And if it passes, and we're lucky that it passes, we will be lucky to build more than 1,000 units of housing with that money. And yet, we're actually losing double that amount of housing to Airbnb. So the voters of San Francisco are being asked to subsidize the illegal conduct of a $25 billion corporation. And by the way,
I want to let Patrick Hannon get in here. And remember,
founders of Airbnb just made the Forbes 400. They're 194 of the wealthiest people in the country. Each one of those three founders is worth $3.3 billion. And what I'm saying is, it's okay to make money. We're not saying, you know, no Airbnb. We're simply saying, have some corporate responsibility when you're making that kind of money in San Francisco when we have the housing crisis we have.
Patrick Hannon, I want to let you get in here. Let's talk about the law on the books and why you think it's not working.
Well, first of all, I think the law on the books is working. And it's important to note that while there may have been years of discussion, just in February, San Francisco passed the regulations of short-term rentals in San Francisco. In July, the Office of Short-Term Rental Administration and Enforcement opened. So they've been open for less than 3 months. I believe that that is not enough time for everybody in San Francisco, all the home shares, to be registered. And I think we do need to give the process more time to work. I respectfully disagree with Supervisor Campos that the office doesn't have the tools they need. As a matter of fact, at a hearing last week, Supervisor Campos asked the head of the Office of Short-Term Administration whether he had the tools that he needed to go after bad actors, and he said he did. As a matter of fact, between the city attorney and the Office of Short-Term Rentals, they've gone after dozens of people who aren't following the rules and levied hundreds of thousands of dollars of fines. That seems to me to be a process that's working. I further want to note that just last week, the city also streamlined the process for registering your short-term rental. And it's not necessarily the easiest process. You have to get a business license. You have to document that you have insurance. All very reasonable regulations, and yet things that one does need to allow people time and make it as easy as possible for them to follow those rules. And I think that's a place where Supervisor Campos and I
have
a disagreement.
Let me just jump in here a little bit. I mean, like,
Rachel.
No, and hold on. We still want to work with Patrick here. So no law gets policed if the public isn't willing to abide by the law for the most part. Otherwise, you just wouldn't have enough policemen. You wouldn't have enough regulators. If Airbnb, if the law says you can't be listing your unit unless you're registered with the city, why doesn't Airbnb just kick off those hosts?
I think that whenever the city comes to Airbnb or comes to any of the platforms and says, we have a bad actor and we'd like to talk to you about this, that all these companies want to make sure that the people that are using their sites are following the rules. But I think it's important to note that Prop F doesn't go after some of the elements of the current regulation that may need to be strengthened. What Prop F is, Prop F goes off in an extreme angle. And Prop F actually takes the enforcement action away from the city largely, puts it on the citizens by creating a private right of action with a profit motive. And I believe this is one of the aspects that's most troubling, is that Prop F allows for what's called special damages. So anybody who lives within 100 feet of me can actually sue me for profit for unspecified damages, as well as attorney fees.
Couldn't they do that today? I mean, you know, nothing stops a lawsuit in this country.
Well, I think it's important to note that, number one, they because of this allowance for special damages, they have enhanced standing,
so,
is my
understanding. Rachel, if I can jump in here, I want the public to be very clear about what's happening. Airbnb, by the way, has already spent $8 million in this campaign, and it's a smokescreen trying to scare people to not vote for Prop F, saying it's too extreme. Well, Dianne Feinstein is many things, but I don't think extreme is one word that would describe Dianne Feinstein. I think the reason Dianne Feinstein is saying we have to support this common sense law that says limitations on the number of days, quarterly information so that we have booking data is because you look at the facts. Look, he says this agency just started 3 months ago. That's a smokescreen. Let's be very clear. The planning department had years to enforce, and they finally said it's unenforceable the way it is. The way
even
it
though
works,
it just went into effect in February?
Well, it's they said that. They said that, exactly. They tried to enforce it for those months between February and the summer, and they said they came to the board and said, we don't have the tools, so it doesn't matter how long you wait. And how long do we have to wait? You know, Airbnb, it took 3.5 years for them to pay their back taxes. Do we have to wait another 3.5 years? How many homes will be lost before then? Now, they are trying to scare people with this right of action. The fact is that the law as it is right now already allows neighbors to sue each other. The difference is that the law now allows San Franciscans to actually sue Airbnb. And that's the reason Airbnb is spending $8 million. It's not to protect the hosts. It's to protect themselves. Now, the thing about the complaints. So this agency, by the way, which is made up of the same people who said this law is unenforceable, they just have a different title. It only has 3 employees. Unless they have superpowers, how are they going to know if the law is being followed?
Isn't it the job of San Francisco in the midst of a housing crisis to hire a few more regulators?
Well, they have failed to do that. And you know what? They have only filed 9 complaints and only issued $155,000 in fines. And the person in charge of this office said, we have no plans to go after Airbnb. The way I see it is, you know, I've said this, you know, you have a better chance of winning the lottery than actually being having this law enforced against you. And that's the problem. Look, I don't believe there is the extreme of Paris that said no Airbnb. We're not saying that. It's saying yes to Airbnb, but reasonable regulations.
You could have the most beautiful law on the books, but if the government is not enforcing it, is the problem with the people who are being enforced, or is the problem with the government that's not enforcing it?
It is when the people who are being enforced are the ones that actually wrote the law. And that's the ironic thing, that this law was essentially written by Airbnb. Look, the person who wrote the law, the president of the Board of Supervisors who authored this law, the public record is clear, met with Airbnb more than 60 times before they finalized.
Shouldn't you talk with the foremost company in that industry if you're about to regulate them?
But Airbnb is one of 60 companies, and he only met mainly with them. And what about meeting with the residents, meeting with the tenants, meeting with the property owners? So he says, you know, Airbnb, whenever we hear of a bad actor, you know, we do something about it. Well, let me tell you something about a bad actor.
May I get in here? With all due respect, Supervisor, you've been dominating the conversation. I'd like to have my turn to speak because you've said a lot of things, and I don't agree with everything that you've said. So first of all, let's note that we're not talking about 3.5 years. This office hasn't been open barely 3.5 months. So let's go ahead and give the office a chance to work. And if what you're saying is that because there's not enough staff for this office, you're going to put this ridiculous ballot measure and make people vote on it because you guys can't, the Board of Supervisors can't come to a place where you administer and apply and allocate more staff, then maybe you guys aren't doing your job. Maybe you're asking a lot of the voters of San Francisco. What I would say is that Gavin Newsom and the San Francisco Democratic Party, who consistently stand up for middle-class San Franciscans, they oppose Prop F because of what it will do to our communities, because of the fact that it does encourage lawsuits, Supervisor, with all due respect. It does encourage lawsuits for profit. It also requires that people file quarterly reports documenting where they sleep at night. Under Prop F, San Francisco will be the only government in the world to require you to document where you sleep
Why
at night.
Why is that a scary thing? Hold on. Let's let Patrick answer that question. Yeah.
Why is it scary for the government to track and record and hold on to where you sleep at night? Because
The government knows every intimate detail about my paycheck as it is. I mean, like, how much more intimate can we get?
Well, I believe that's an invasion of privacy. I believe that if the government's tracking and wants to know and is going to document and hold on to where I sleep at night, I believe that that's going a little bit too far in order to figure out regulations that really haven't even been given a chance to work. The third thing that I want to note is that Prop F bans the short-term rental of all in-law units everywhere in San Francisco. And it's important that we recognize that whereas the measure or the ordinance that the supervisors passed can be tweaked, it can be worked on, it can be improved, it can be strengthened, Prop F can't be. Once this is voted upon, that's it. It's on the books, and it can't be changed until the voters vote again. And that's a long way for something as small as needing more staff for an office.
Are you committing to sue if this thing passes?
oh, I'm making no commitments today, ma'am, because I believe that we are going to win.
Let's talk money. Let's talk money. You have raised, what, $8 million so far and spent about $3.5 million?
Yeah, and the fact of the matter is that's money well spent. The more San Francisco voters learn about Prop F, the more they oppose it. I think that our polling data shows that this race is at 52 to 36. That's 18-point change since the measure was first put on in July, and that's because the more people learn about it, the more they realize this is a bad law for San Francisco and one that will be on the books permanently without any opportunity to change.
Airbnb will break all spending records, by the way, and they're not breaking all spending records out of the goodness of their heart because they want to protect San Francisco. They're doing it because they want to protect their bottom line. Let me give an example, because he said, you know, whenever there's a bad actor, tell us and we'll do something about it. Where, you know, there is a three-unit building in Fisherman's Wharf. The ground floor tenant actually boasts that he's the number one Airbnb host in San Francisco. He lives, by the way, in a rent-controlled unit where he pays $3,000 a month in rent. And yet goes ahead and Airbnbs that unit and makes $11,000 a month, as much as that, and spends 3 months in Europe, 3 months in Thailand, 3 months in Bali. And the owner of this property went to Airbnb and said they don't have permission to do this, and Airbnb didn't do anything. Now, there's the other example recently of someone who was house-sitting without the permission of the person. Airbnb knows about all these bad actors, and yet it does nothing. What we're saying is this. At some point, there has to be corporate responsibility. Airbnb is a $25 billion corporation, by the way, larger than the Marriott and the Hyatt combined.
Let me bring this to Patrick Hannon. What we seem to be hearing, and not just from proponents of Prop F, but you see it in the comment sections under news articles of all kinds with Airbnb, that it's not self-policing. Has the company simply brought this political fight on itself?
I don't believe so. I believe that the company worked with the city to try to develop regulations that were functional, that worked to make sure there was enforcement mechanisms that would actually work, to make sure there's a registration process that is slowly becoming more functional so the host can register, and also allows the city to continue to collect more than $1 million in taxes, through hotel taxes that the hosts pay every single month. So no, I respectfully disagree with the supervisor that there's not a process in place that's functional and works, because there is.
But we're talking regardless of law. We could be talking about Phoenix or New York. There are records on the books that show who owns a unit. And if that owner has contacted the company and said, I don't want Airbnb happening in my unit, that seems clear enough, doesn't it?
Again, I believe that the owner should be contacting the city, and that the city has a process in place for
rectifying
that.
You put it onto the local government. Here, you deal with it. It's not our problem.
Well, let me ask you a question. If you rent a car and you park that car illegally, do you expect the car company to go ahead and
– This is not a simple example.
It's true, because the fact of the matter is that the city has an enforcement mechanism in place, and it has an office that's open and functioning, and there's a complaint process that the folks, the proponents of Prop F, have filed more than 50 anonymous complaints. But I think it's important to note that Prop F takes that process and it makes it worse. It'll allow for anonymous complaints. It'll allow for the planning department to subpoena and accept anonymous witnesses saying that I've done something wrong, whether or not you're a short-term rental host or not.
Let's speak facts. So let's take the example of the rental company. So if Airbnb is now a rental company, the one thing that a car rental company is not allowed to do is to rent you a car if you don't have a driver's license. And yet in this case, these folks are being allowed to Airbnb. 94% of them are unlicensed. So where is the responsibility? I don't think that analogy actually works. To the contrary. But the other point here is this privacy issue.
Hold on. Let me finish.
This privacy issue. That's a smokescreen. You know, the SF Action, which is a local San Francisco entity, basically said this is Airbnb trying to, you know, basically scare voters. The reality is that they talk about invasion of privacy. Well, there is invasion of our neighborhoods, and this company is not doing anything. And with in-law units, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to charge my in-laws to stay in my house. So I don't know what they're talking about. And the thing about in-law units is that they're supposed to be they're not supposed to be the primary residence. When we protected in-law units, it was supposed to be for housing. And so they can't have it both ways. But let me ask you this. How is it that in the middle of the worst housing crisis and we're losing 2,000 units to commercial Airbnbs, we're basically saying, let this company regulate itself, because that's where it is. And as Patrick is saying here, they don't believe they have any responsibility. They can just look the other way as they make billions and billions of dollars in San Francisco.
We're about to head into the second half hour, and we're already receiving lots and lots of comments and questions from listeners. Let me put the money question to you, David Campos. I mean, as far as I understand it, we're talking about maybe a quarter of $1 million raised on this side. Where are the hotels? You would think Airbnb has eaten into their business, that they would face an existential threat from private rentals.
You know, to be honest with you, I'm a little surprised by that. But then again, you know, I don't have the closest ties to the hotel industry. What I can tell you, though, is that we have a grassroots campaign that includes people that have never agreed with each other. And I'll give you one important statistic. Actually, the controller issued this number. For every unit of affordable housing that we lose in San Francisco, there is 250,000 to 300,000 in economic activity that is lost. If we're losing 1,000 units a year, you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that we're losing to Airbnb.
Not just Airbnb, though. The hosts are also making some money, as are the retailers who are
And then they say, what about the economic activity in these neighborhoods? But you know what? There would be more economic activity if instead of a tourist, you actually had a resident spending money in that neighborhood.
I think it's important to note that the people that are hosting in San Francisco are not billionaires. Talk about smoke screens. These are by and large middle class people who are using this money as much as approximately on average $13,000 a year. Nobody's getting rich off this. And they're using that. 40% of them actually use that to help pay their health, their housing costs in San Francisco. These are folks that are using this income in order to try to stay afloat in a city facing a severe affordability crisis. Look, housing is a very important issue in San Francisco, but Prop F is not the solution. Prop F does nothing to address the affordability crisis except for take a tool away from people who are using home sharing to try to make ends meet. Prop F builds no affordable housing. As a matter of fact, if they were serious about addressing the housing issue, then maybe some of the fines or penalties or even some of the lawsuit money would go towards an affordable housing fund. It doesn't. It goes in the general fund. Prop F is a NIMBY measure far more than it does nothing to address housing or affordability.
Well, let's talk about this question of NIMBY. I mean, there are people. A lot of people enjoy renting on Airbnb and enjoy renting their units out on Airbnb, I should mention. But there are also people who are the neighbors of these units who complain that their neighborhood has essentially been rezoned. So they've gone from being in a residential situation to being in a hotel neighborhood. But I hear the music coming up. So with that, I want to say we're talking with Supervisor David Campos of San Francisco's District 9 and Patrick Hannon, a campaign manager for No on Prop F. Have you decided which way you're voting yet? Have you used Airbnb as a host or a guest? Call us at 866-733-6786 or email us at forum@kqed.org. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Forum on KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Rachel Miro, and we're talking about Proposition F in San Francisco. We have with us in studio this morning Supervisor David Campos of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors for District 9 and a spokesperson for Proposition F. We also have Patrick Hannon, campaign manager for the No on Prop F campaign. We'd love your comments and questions, and along those lines, we've already got some. Let me pick one from both sides, so parity here. On the yes for Proposition F side, a Facebook listener writes, I am so much for this prop. I live in a four-unit house that has converted two of the four units into full-time, as in 365 days a year rentals. That's taking housing away from residents. It breaks my heart. I know that my landlord would use any opportunity to evict us and turn our unit into a hotel rental too. And on the no side, a listener writes, please vote no on Prop F. Airbnb has allowed hundreds of San Francisco families to avoid foreclosure exposure by sharing their guest rooms with visitors to our wonderful city. Every homeowner should have a right to share his home with visitors. This law would prevent that. For many San Franciscans, Airbnb alone allowed them to survive the Great Recession by making enough money to afford their mortgage, property taxes, and maintenance. Additionally, Airbnb allows San Franciscans to show visitors our city, neighborhoods, and culture. So with that said, let's charge into the phone calls. And we have Mark in the Mission.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Mark. I'm Mark. I live in the Mission, and I'm a landlord and also a host on Airbnb. And I'm renting out my guest room that my spouse and I have absolutely made a difference for us, because we've been able to do a number of things, including keep our rents at bay for our tenants. We haven't raised their rents in 3 years because of the additional income we've made from Airbnb. And I have a question for David Campos. If I'm renting my guest room, and it's only my guest room in my unit, and I have not taken a whole unit off the market, why should my family be forced to cap our income at 79% less than currently available to us? Why am I being punished even though I have registered with the city and followed all other rules?
Well, first of
David
all,
Campos?
Thank you for registering. Actually, if only 94% of the people that are out there had followed that lead, we wouldn't be in as dire a situation. Look, for the casual Airbnb rental, Prop F allows them to continue to do that. 75 days is actually a larger number than the average number of Airbnb rental nights. Airbnb paid Gene Sperling, who is a former top official in the White House with Obama and Clinton, that showed that actually the average number of nights is 73. So those who are supplementing their income with Airbnb, this law allows them to do so. What it doesn't do is allow the commercial Airbnbs where entire units, entire buildings are actually being taken off the market. And so, we are not going to the extreme of Paris, Barcelona, or Berlin that says no Airbnb. We're actually allowing short-term rentals. We're simply saying let's have some reasonable regulations, because if we don't have those regulations, we're going to continue to lose the housing. And in the Mission, by the way, again, which is ground zero for displacement, we are losing as many as 40% of units that could be rented to longtime residents to Airbnb. The same number of units that are being commercially Airbnb'd in the Mission is the same amount of people that have been evicted in that neighborhood.
Look, I think that unfortunately that there's a community of hosts that are being scapegoated for a housing crisis that's existed for generations. And with all due respect to Supervisor Campos, I find it disingenuous to blame these hosts for what's going on. Supervisor Campos is making a giant assumption, like the caller pointed out. Not every room that's available for rent is going to be made available is going to be leased permanently. So a lot of folks want to keep a bedroom open for family visiting, or for when they have a baby and someone wants to come, or just because they use it for an office. And it's a fallacy to think that every single room that's available is a room that someone's not getting. That's just a mistake.
Patrick, can you give us a number or what percentage of Airbnb rentals are whole units as opposed to back rooms or back in-law houses?
Well, I think it's important to note that a lot of these units are on multiple listings. So the people that you're talking about, the bad actors, they're not just going to list on Airbnb. They're going to list on Craigslist
and
VRBO.
But nonetheless, I'm just asking what percentage it is.
It's under 25%, I believe.
That is not true, because they refused to give us data. So the reason why it took them a while to respond is because Airbnb believes that it has no responsibility. We think that the number is much higher, that in fact you're talking about losing about 2,000 units to commercial buildings, commercial entire units that are being Airbnb'd. By the way, the only time that we know the true numbers from Airbnb in New York, the numbers were actually worse than Airbnb said. So right now, the Chronicle reports that Airbnb has more than 5,000 units, Airbnb alone. Airbnb says it's half the market, so more than 10,000 units. Can you imagine what we could do with 10,000 units to actually house San Francisco?
Those units aren't available all the time. These are people that might go out of town for a vacation or might go out of time to visit family, and then they're putting their unit on. Again, David's assuming that every single unit that's on Airbnb or on any of these platforms is available on the time, and it's taking taking housing off the market.
Now,
and that's simply
on,
not the case.
He's making
a lot of assumptions here.
Let me ask you another question. How does the San Francisco regulation compare to what's happening in New York?
You know what? I can't speak to that.
Can't speak to that. Let's go to another call at this point. Carrie in San Francisco.
Hi. I have a question. I would love to know how much you think the legislation and regulation on long-term rentals is affecting what's happening with Airbnb. I'm asking because I am a homeowner in Bernal Heights, which is in David Campos' area, and I've contacted his office. I left for 11 months to care for an ailing relative, hired a property manager who assured me I was not subject to any wonky San Francisco laws about eviction and rent control, and it turns out he had no idea what he was talking about. I've come back, and I've got 30-year-old Googlers refusing to leave my property who are displacing my 5-year-old kindergartner because they want their $11,000 in relocation fees. They've been in my house for less than a year, and I have to, out of my pocket, fork over $11,000. I think if these regulations were a little more flexible, I think if long-term rental was made less difficult for people like myself, I think you would find a lot of these properties wouldn't be on the short-term market.
Okay,
Carrie.
Right. We're going to have take this question now to David Campos. Thank you so much. A little bit off point, but I mean, David Campos, let's talk about this. San Francisco's housing market, and for that matter, the regulation of it, there are a lot of problems. It's not just that there's one company or one economic dynamic that's informing this.
And the point that I will make is this, that, and I think Dianne Feinstein has said this to Mayor Lee, if we are serious about solving this housing crisis, which is a much larger issue, we cannot address the housing crisis without addressing what's happening to short-term rentals. The point here is that Airbnb is changing the character of our neighborhoods. You know, Harvey Milk used to say, San Francisco is a city of neighborhoods. I moved into Bernal Heights where I live because it's a special place. I did not want to live next to a hotel. If I wanted to live next to a hotel, I would have moved to downtown San Francisco. What's happening right now is that you have these folks that are coming into these neighborhoods and changing the character of the neighborhoods. And the way the law works right now, you are on your own. The city does not have the tools to enforce it. And what we're saying with Prop F is, let's let folks who are subsidizing income through Airbnb continue to do that. We're letting them do that. But let's have some reasonable regulations. Let's fix what we have is a system that is broken.
Let's keep moving through some of these comments. Here's somebody, Stephen writes from Facebook. Here are some facts I think should be of interest to your listeners. Current San Francisco hotel occupancy rates are running at an high, around 84.5%. Tourism in the city is increasing by more than 6% a year, yet there have been no new hotels built since 2008 to accommodate this flood of tourism. So over the past few years, it has been thanks to Airbnb and a few other home-sharing companies that literally thousands of tourists are able to find affordable lodgings here in the city. Mark writes on Facebook, you can't have it both ways. Tightening rent control and hoping people stay in the long-term rental housing business one. It's no wonder property owners don't want to rent long term. Let's go to another call. Sam in San Mateo.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I think this is a complicated issue, and I have a question for the supervisor, which is, you know, why bring this as a referendum, which seems to me a bit short-sighted? The California landscape is littered with bad laws made through referendum. Why not vote this through the chamber, use the legislature? Last I checked, we lived in a representative democracy. Enacting complex laws like this through referendum politics seems like a dangerous precedent.
Supervisor.
Let me say this, that I agree that a referendum going to the ballot should be the last resort. In this case, unfortunately, we have tried twice at the Board of Supervisors. And what's happening at the Board of Supervisors, unfortunately, is that you have corporate economic interests, Airbnb in particular, you have people like Ron Conway, who is our local version of Donald Trump, who has actually boasted in New York that he owns San Francisco City Hall. And when a company and investors say they own a city hall, then the voters have a right to go to the ballot.
This has been true since the beginning of time, from the days of ancient Rome.
Yeah.
What difference would Proposition F make if the government has already bought and sold? What difference would yet another law make?
Because this is the voters saying, you know what? we know you're not going to do the right thing. We're telling you what to do. And what we're doing is precisely what the experts said is needed. One, booking data, so we actually know that the limitations that are embedded in the law are being followed. Second, making sure that only units that are registered are listed. Again, 94% of all units are not registered. And Airbnb could stop this problem now by simply saying, you know what, we will only list registered units. The other thing it does is that it actually gives this staff finally the tools that they have asked for, the tools that City Hall has refused to give them, because Airbnb, the last thing they want is enforceability.
Patrick,
the tools they already say they have, by the way. The tools they told Supervisor Campos last week, Kevin Guy, the director of the Office of Short-Term Administration, told Supervisor Campos directly, I have the tools I need to do my job. But I want to just scoot back for a second because the caller raised an interesting point. The ballot is the worst way to do this kind of planning. That's why the San Francisco Chronicle came out over the weekend to oppose Prop F, and largely because they're concerned that by putting in this kind of bad regulation forever, it's going to set the city on the wrong path. And with all due respect, if you have a vote and you lose it twice, that and then you insist on going to the ballot, maybe that's just sour grapes and a really bad way to develop public policy.
I'm sorry. I don't think it's sour grapes to actually empower the people of San Francisco. You know, we live in a democracy, but these folks in City Hall, they would rather trust, you know, these corporate players than the residents of San Francisco.
I trust the residents of San Francisco over Ron Conway. But the fact of the matter is that there has been a process. You went through the process and you lost twice. And what's on the books right now is good regulation. And so instead you cooked up this scary measure that's going to turn neighbors against neighbors, and you put it on the ballot, and it's going to be a nightmare for San Francisco, a nightmare for our community, and a nightmare for the courts to have to deal with all the lawsuits that are going to come out of
it. I don't think Dianne Feinstein has cooked up anything. I think what's happening here is that we have the worst housing crisis. We have a $25 billion corporation, by the way, which is larger than the Hyatt and the Marriott combined. And what it's saying is that they don't have to follow any of the rules that the rest of the hotel industry has to follow. And they are making money on the backs of San Francisco residents that are being evicted. Let me talk to you about
David,
Teresa Flandrick, who was evicted out of North Beach.
Let's not go into individual cases.
Hastening
eviction. Let's go to the phones at this point. Let's talk now to who we got here, Kate in Glen Park.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for allowing me to speak. I have a question for Patrick Hannon. So the Office of Short-Term Rentals has been, in effect, working for a couple months. Can you give us some specific examples of what they're doing to address bad actors?
The Office of Short-Term Rentals has actually gone off after more than a half dozen bad actors and levied nearly $200,000 of fines, plus what the city attorney has done. In addition to that, they've streamlined the process to make it easier for these hosts to register. The fact of the matter is that the legislation passed by Supervisor Campos and his colleagues earlier this year didn't make it very easy, and so the city's been trying to catch up and find a way to allow more people to come into compliance. And rather than putting this misguided measure on the ballot, that's really the right way to develop regulations in a registration process is through hearings and conversation, not by putting something out there for the voters to vote on, a very complicated matter, when what it really does is has a bunch of secret details that allows for neighbors to sue each other, people to have to report private information.
You just described them. Does that make them secret now?
I'm trying to get the word out, because the fact is that the more people hear about them, the more they oppose Prop F.
Well, by the way, the thing is that the law already pits neighbors against neighbors. The staff, when they testified before the board, they said that their strategy for enforcement is to get complaints from the neighbors.
Which is pretty typical in California.
Well, but yet they're criticizing this law for that very purpose.
Let me acknowledge Supervisor Campos for saying he's pitting neighbors against neighbors.
So look, if the city was a fraction as serious as it is when it comes to enforcing parking violations, when it comes to Airbnb, we would not have this problem. This new agency, which, by the way, it's the same people that have been working on this for years, only has 3 employees to go and enforce against 10,000 listings.
But, okay, Supervisor, let me just challenge you there. That's the choice of the government. You can choose where to put your budget. You don't have to be limited to 3 people.
And my point is that this government has been captured by this corporate interest, which is why the voters with Prop F and a coalition that has never agreed on anything is saying, you know what, since City Hall won't do the right thing by San Franciscans, we are going to do it at the ballot box. That's as San Francisco as it gets.
Let's let Patrick Cannon respond.
I know. There is no response, Patrick.
You gave me a funny look. Look, I think the fact of the matter is that David and I disagree. I think that there's a tool in place. I think the tool should be given the time to work. And I think that what David's approach is conflict-ridden. It creates confrontation between our neighbors that doesn't have to exist. And that if David was serious, he would have sponsored legislation to add more staffing to this office, to add to enhance their abilities that he's so concerned about. But that's not what Prop F does. Prop F, frankly, uses very blunt instruments in order to discourage short-term rentals. And what it does is it takes the enforcement ability largely away from the city and it places it on the neighbors. I don't think that there should be tribunals, basically, in which the planning director can bring in anonymous witnesses to testify people about where I was sleeping at night. That's just wrong, and that's really what Prop F will do.
Let's keep charging through a few listener comments and questions. Sarah writes, Campos is wrong when he said Airbnb is not allowed in Berlin. I have an entire unit rented for May. Ben writes, just look at where the money is and you'll see who is defending their own interests. It's obvious that Airbnb has the power in this situation and that its libertarian attitude is coming into direct conflict with the values of the city and its people. I want to put that to you, Patrick Cannon.
Look, the fact of the matter is that what Airbnb and these hosting platforms have done is they're giving middle-class San Franciscans the opportunity to earn some extra income. This is one of the few places that if you don't have a flexible schedule and you need to bring more money in because the costs of the city are going up, you can actually use that a bedroom and bring in a little bit of extra revenue. I believe that that's a good thing. As we talked about, more than 45% of all the income used by short-term rental hosts in San Francisco is going directly to their housing costs. These aren't people that are going to retire and live in the Bahamas. I don't know where Supervisor Campos comes up with this example, but the vast majority of the hosts are people who are trying to follow the rules and stay in San Francisco. And I want to take one more issue, is that Airbnb and these hosting platforms are really concerned about their hosts. Their hosts are their community. And it's disingenuous for Supervisor Campos to be applying values to these companies when the fact of the matter is they do care about the people that make up their community, and it's important for them to protect
them.
Hold on a second, David. Okay, let's keep it civil. Yeah, David Campos, let me ask you this question. Now, Airbnb pays hotel taxes in San Francisco as well as a host of other cities. How much money is San Francisco making off of those hotel taxes?
To be honest with you, they say Airbnb says $1 million a month. I'm not really sure that we actually know because qualified website company just the other day. So they say they pay all this amount of money in taxes. We haven't actually verified that information. And that's the point here. Look, I understand that there are people who are using Airbnb to make ends meet, and I want those people to know that Prop F will allow you to continue to do that. What we're saying is let's have some common sense. At this point, this law is broken. When you have 94% of people who are engaged in this activity breaking the law, the law is broken, and you don't have to wait another 3.5 years, which is what it took Airbnb to pay its taxes. Now, San Francisco is a city of innovation, but innovation doesn't mean that you don't follow the law, that you don't follow the rules. Airbnb believes that it's above the law, and in November, on November 3rd, the voters of San Francisco have a right to say
it's
not.
There comes the pitch. Let me put the same question to you, Patrick Cannon. How much in hotel taxes has Airbnb paid San Francisco?
The city controller estimates that the hosting platforms produce $12 to $15 million of tax revenue in hotel taxes each month. The hosts pay the same taxes as hotels, same tax rate, 14%, to make sure that they are doing their fair share. I think it's important to note also that the money, that 82% of all these listings are outside of the downtown hotel district, and they are in places. We are a city of neighborhoods, and we should allow these visitors and travelers to explore the neighborhoods, and the hosts make recommendations for where people should go. It costs the average hotel. San Francisco hotel rooms are the most expensive in the world, $350 a night. We get a lot of feedback from our hosts and through the people that stay with them that they would not have been able to visit San Francisco if it wasn't for home sharing platforms. And with all due respect, I guess my question back is why should San Francisco be only a city that the rich can visit rather than a city that everybody can visit?
Well, the difference between where Patrick is and where I am is this. They're talking about making San Francisco affordable for tourists. I'm talking about making San Francisco affordable for San Franciscans. in the midst of the worst housing crisis, Airbnb is taking off the market double the amount of housing that we're going to build if we are lucky to pass this $310 million housing bond. Voters in San Francisco are being asked to subsidize the illegality of Airbnb. And I don't think that's right. I think
Let's let Patrick Hannon respond.
Here we go again. We're blaming a group of middle-class hosts for a housing crisis that's gone on for generations. That's not just ridiculous. That's misplaced, and that's unfair to put that burden on these folks. The fact of the matter is that San Francisco does have complicated housing policies, and San Francisco hasn't always executed on their housing vision as well as they could. But now we do find ourselves in a crisis, and instead of coming up with thoughtful solutions, we're going to go out and we're going to blame this group of people, and that's just wrong. That's not the San Francisco that I want to live in. In my San Francisco, everybody is welcome.
Let's head to another phone call. Let's talk to Paul in San Francisco.
Hi, this is Paul.
Hi.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes. Great.
So I'd like to respond to a couple of things and then give a quick personal story. I'm a home sharer. I was the 70th person to register with Airbnb. It was a little bit bumpy because the things were kind of getting worked out at that time. But now it's working. I fully support enforcement. I'm a law-abiding citizen. I think everyone else on that platform should do the same and abide by the regulations that are in place. I also believe that I have, as a homeowner, the right to private property and using it as I see fit. This regulation, Prop F, would limit me to 75 nights a year. I'm renting out the room my daughter exited to go to college. I use that money to help keep her in college.
Well, let me put this to our guests here today, Paul. I mean, it sounds like Paul is the kind of Airbnb host that the city would benefit from, the ideal host, if you will.
The problem, and by the way, thank you, Paul, for registering. The problem is that even though they tried to make Paul into the face of Airbnb, what Prop F is trying—
He's just a guy who called in today, right?
My point is the problem is the commercial Airbnb that's happening. That's where we're losing the 1,900 units of housing. And the thing about private property, I support the right. I'm a property owner in San Francisco. I also believe, though, that as property owners, we have a right to tell our tenants whether or not they should Airbnb. And the thing about property rights is that they're not absolute. You know, as a property owner, you don't have the right to run a MetLab out of your house. If you want to run a business, you have to register with the city. This allows you to do that, but it simply says you have to follow certain rules to protect the housing stock and to protect the interest and character of the neighborhood.
Patrick Hannon.
There are rules in the place that will help protect the housing stock. Prop F, on the other hand, really does nothing to protect that housing stock. How is it protecting the housing stock when neighbors can sue each other for profit? How is it protecting the housing stock to make people report where they sleep at night? This is the wrong solution. The fact of the matter is that what this does is rather than encourage people to talk to each other, this sends them off in the opposite direction to have conflicts. In many ways, Prop F exemplifies that. Rather than talking and developing and continue to develop a solution that works, they ran to the ballot and put in a permanent measure that will just create problems and leave them there for everyone to deal with long into the future.
So we're hearing some of the same arguments again.
The law, by the way, already allows people to sue each other. So that thing changes with Prop F on that point.
Let's go again to the phones and to NATO in Bernal Heights. Or NATO, I should say.
No, it's NATO.
NATO. Oh, okay. I had it right the first time.
I have a comment and a question. My name is NATO Green. I'm the president of SPORC, Small Property Owners for Reasonable Controls. We are small landlords. I have an in-law unit in my house, and I feel like and I'm a San Francisco native, and being a landlord in San Francisco is literally the easiest job in the world. People give you money for doing nothing just because you're got lucky enough to own real estate, and we have a responsibility to use our property in a way that benefits the community around us. And I can make enough money renting to pay my own bills, renting out my in-law to someone who's going to be my neighbor that I want to help build San Francisco into the place that I love, rather than just profiting endlessly off of tourists. So I feel like I don't need to be greedy as a landlord and abuse the privilege that I have of owning property. My question is on this private right of action thing. I think we have a precedent in San Francisco, which is in 2003, the voters passed the minimum wage law that included a private right of action that hasn't led to endless frivolous lawsuits, as far as I know. Yeah.
Well,
so
let's put that question to Patrick Hannon. Thank you so much. We have just a couple minutes left. So
yeah, look, I mean, I think it's important to note that what we're talking about is everybody has a neighbor who we've had a disagreement with, whether it was a ball that went over the fence or somebody having music up too loud. The difference is that Prop F authorized you to sue that neighbor for profit, regardless of whether they're home sharing, under this regulation. And that's my concern. My concern is that people are going to abuse this, and they're going to file lawsuits based on very small things, and they're going to force you to either make a decision to hire a lawyer and try to defend yourself, or settle for thousands of dollars in a shakedown. And that's really my greatest concern.
David Campos,
they're spending $8 million. That's a smokescreen. The law as it is right now allows people to sue each other right now. The reason they're spending $8 million is because the law finally gives people the right to sue Airbnb. It's all about protecting this corporation. And I'm telling you, I am not, as an elected, in the business of protecting corporations. I'm in the business of protecting our residents and our neighborhoods. That's what Prop F is about.
All right. We'll have to leave it there. I want to encourage our listeners to keep the conversation going online because, boy, are there many comments and questions. And I apologize to those we didn't get to talk to. I want to thank our guests again, San Francisco Supervisor David Campos, a spokesperson for the Yes on Proposition F campaign, and Patrick Hannon, campaign manager for the No on Proposition F campaign. I'm Rachel Miro, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Thank you for joining us.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.